It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
A three-decade high for Japan's stock market, and you guessed it, it's all to do with microchips. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain, in for Leanna Byrne today. Thanks, as always, for your company. Yeah, it appears US chipmaker Nvidia's boss Jensen Huang is right. We're at an AI tipping point, and the race for chips to power it is on all around the world. After Nvidia's astonishing financial results yesterday, it was chip-related stocks on Tokyo's main Nikkei index, which drove the home of Japan's biggest firms past its all-time high after a 34-year wait. The BBC's Nick Marsh has more.
In the very short term, the most immediate factor was the success of Nvidia, the US chip company, the world's most valuable chip company. They announced record profits yesterday for last year, and that's due to the massive demand for AI, which is really helping their business. That sent Nvidia's share price soaring, and so the value of the stock market went up with it. But then you've got longer term factors, basically the Japanese yen being very weak for a long time. So when the yen is weak, it means Japanese goods are cheaper to buy from abroad, and exporters then have a good time and their share price goes up. Plus, it makes Japanese companies in general more attractive to buy shares because they're all in yen. Then another more sort of anecdotal reason is that a lot of money is leaving China. People think that it's staying in Asia, it's going to places like Japan, Singapore. So maybe there's a transfer of money going on there. So all of these things have sort of combined to hit this milestone today.
That's the BBC's Asia Business reporter, Nick Marsh, there. Well, it wasn't just Tokyo getting an Nvidia-based bounce, as we check the numbers now. Yeah, tech stocks driving the markets in Europe here this morning too. London, Paris and Frankfurt all up between 0.5% and 1% right now. Impressive numbers around for travel stocks this week in Europe too, including a record-breaking set of financial results for the French hotel group Accor. That's the owner of brands like Fairmont, Raffles and Mercure. It announced pre-tax profits exceeding $1 billion for last year. Let's take you to Central Europe now, and Albania's parliament has approved a controversial agreement to process asylum seekers hoping to get to Italy. Under the agreement, the Italian government will build two centres in northern Albania to process 36,000 people hoping to reach Italy each year. The BBC's Sara Manetta has more on how the scheme might work.
Last year, over 157,000 people arrived in Italy. More than 3,000 died trying. Until now, those rescued have been taken to Italy, but a deal with Albania aims to change that. Starting possibly as early as March, people rescued by the Italian Coast Guard and Navy will be taken to two Italian-led processing centres in Albania, where their asylum claim will be examined. Speaking at a press conference, Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni said this deal is setting an example.
Penso che sia un accordo.
It's an innovative agreement. Of course, it will depend on our ability to make it work smoothly. But I think it would be an example for other European countries to replicate.
But for Francesco Creazzo from the NGO SOS Mediterranee, this is just another step to make asylum seekers and rescuers' life more difficult.
Obstacles upon obstacles are being put in the way of people who try to rescue. To the precise aim of emptying the Central Mediterranean of rescue assets.
When I ask him if NGOs too will be asked to take people to Albania, he shrugs.
It's not absolutely clear what would be the mechanism, both for people who are rescued and for rescuers. We are very concerned because this agreement seems to violate, or has the potential to violate, several international law.
When the deal was first unveiled last November, the European Commission said the plan was outside EU law. It later said it would monitor its implementation to make sure it complies with EU rules. The Albanian Constitutional Court also suspended the deal over the issue of jurisdiction over the two processing centres, but earlier this month it ruled that the agreement was lawful. Since the start of the year, 128 people have died at sea.
Okay, finish.
Almost 3,000 have arrived in Italy. Many of them are now in the chronically overcrowded reception centre on the island of Lampedusa.
Those involved in sea rescue used to be celebrated as heroes. They even wanted to nominate the Italian Coast Guard for the Nobel Prize. But now, you can't even talk about migrants.
18 years ago, Tarek Ebrane reached Italy on a boat from Libya. He was fleeing from Eritrea. He's been a vocal activist for migrant rights for years.
It's all of Europe, not just Italy. Rather than looking for alternative solutions for migrants, they're taking actions that go against their own conventions on human rights. It's a kind of bullying.
Tarek believes this deal won't dissuade people from trying to reach Italy. Their journey, he says, has been too long, too painful to turn back now.
That's the BBC's Sarah Manetta reporting there. Now, if you're with us on the programme yesterday, you might remember we were talking about the sale of the iconic BT, British Telecom Tower in central London, to MCR Hotels, big US firm, owner of the likes of the Sheraton that's at Times Square. Well, the boss of MCR Hotels, Tyler Morse, has been speaking to the BBC this morning. No planning permission yet, but he does promise that, one, it'll be affordable for people, he claims, and two, he'll have a great view with a cocktail. Also, his hope is if he gets planning permission. Plenty of pics of that story on our website if you want to take a look, bbc.com/news. I've been Will Bain. Thanks so much for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.